Welcome to Happy Hour, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Sean Cantwell here, your local alternative Solid State Radio. And I know, I'm as surprised kind of to be here today as you probably are to hear me. You probably assumed it was going to be Adam and Drew again, or best of, or something. And, well, no, as it turns out, because I figured they were knocking out enough content yesterday for today, and I was wrong. And Adam apparently assumed I was going to put together a best of show, and quite frankly, who's got the time for that when I could just come in here and have my sick ass attempt to do 3 hours of radio? So my apologies if the show's going to sound a little bit rough today, but quite frankly, there's too much stuff that I wanted to address here that I really didn't want to just leave until later in the week. Things that I knew Adam wouldn't talk about because they don't directly relate to hockey. Like, you know, a general manager from a local team going and threatening to kick a fan's ass at a Pistons game. Yes, we'll be talking about that coming up. And also the opening of NFL free agency because, again, it's a sport that's not hockey. Why would they talk about it? We do have actual signings on the Lions front, and so far, it's been very, shall we say, underwhelming. Or more accurately, they haven't been the big splash signings that a lot of the fan base no doubt wanted, that I certainly wanted. But we'll get to that and figure out what the hell else we're going to do along the way next. It is Happy Hour, your local alternative Solid State Radio. So we got to talk about the Troy Weaver thing, right? Because this may be one of the most egregious things I've seen a general manager do in this town, and just might actually somehow add to Troy Weaver's legacy as the worst GM that the city of Detroit's ever seen. And here I thought Matt Millen would never be topped. But you know, at least Matt Millen didn't attempt to, you know, fight fans. He at least had that much decorum, I guess. So Saturday night, the guy who's currently running the Pistons into the ground had a fiery exchange with a fan at LCA as the Pistons were getting blown out by the Dallas Mavericks, which led to Weaver asking security to handle the situation. And Troy at one point tells him, "You're lucky I don't beat your ass." The Free Press reports the fan was basically telling him, no, was outright telling him, "You suck at your job." And, well, he's not wrong. It's a factually accurate statement. 70 wins and 229 losses over his managerial career here. A whole 10 wins this season would certainly suggest that, yes, Troy Weaver sucks at his job. Now, you can make the argument, okay, yeah, the guy is sitting in his seat, in his stands, or whatever. You know, leave him alone, let him be, whatever. You can also make the argument, I paid for my ticket, I'm going to say what I want, including to the idiot GM sitting in front of me. What you cannot do, however, is threaten to fight a fan because they made an entirely accurate, factual statement. I mean, really, I guess I could have left that at, you know, you can't fight a fan or threaten to fight a fan, period. But I mean, in theory, you know, you never know what might have been said there. I mean, it doesn't sound like there was anything particularly uncivil or even perhaps racially motivated or anything like that. It doesn't sound like any of that happened. It was strictly the guy saying, "You suck at your job." But, I mean, certainly I guess there are things that could be said that would make a guy feel like he's going to have to threaten to fight somebody. That is not one of them. And here we are now, 72 hours after the incident. Nothing's happened. No fine has come down. I don't even know if Tom Gores has woke up yet and realized that any of this happened. I don't know if anyone's told him. I don't know if anyone's going to. That man lives a completely and utterly aloof lifestyle, completely unfazed by most normal human issues. So surely he'll do nothing about it. But I mean, you gotta know how bad of a look that is. And quite frankly, when you have orchestrated what was one of the most stunning failures of a basketball team that has ever been put on a court in the city of Detroit, you gotta know that if you choose to sit in the stands as Troy Weaver at LCA, you're going to hear it from people. It's going to happen. There's no way around it. Like, everyone there knows that this team is ass, and they know that you're the reason that this team is ass. So you're going to hear it from the fans. You're going to hear it a lot. And if that's all it's going to take for you to be like, you're like, I don't kick your ass, then, well, maybe you start sitting in the suite, man. I don't know what to tell you. In a season full of as many embarrassments as any Piston season I can remember in my lifetime, this might honestly be the biggest one of them all. The Strokes at Solid State Radio. While the Lions didn't exactly end up making the big splashy move I was hoping they'd make, i.e. L'Jarius Sneed, but they have done a few things since free agency opened yesterday. They picked up Carlton Davis III from Tampa Bay. They got Davis a sixth-round pick and a 2025 sixth-round pick for the Bucks, for the Lions, 2024 third-round pick, the 92nd overall. And he's only 27 years old. He's in the last year of his deal where he's slated to have a $14 million salary. They may extend him, convert some of that salary into a bonus to make sure he doesn't take up cap space this season, but it is a position of need at where a move absolutely did need to be made, and he's an upgrade over Jerry Jacobs, who I believe has gone and signed with the Packers. And honestly, Davis represents an upgrade over literally anyone who played opposite Cameron Sutton last year. So, solid move. I'm okay with it. It's not nearly the exciting move I thought was going to happen or hoped would. You also had a couple, a re-signing. Graham Glasgow's back here for a three-year deal, but Jonah Jackson's gone. He's a Ram now. And I feel like this almost guarantees that you're going to be spending your first-round pick on offensive line. You're going to have to, right? I mean, you've got some rebuilding that has to be done now, and Jackson, whatever you might say about him, when he's in that lineup, in the starting O-line, when he played, they went 7-1 with him, and it didn't go so hot without him. So you can't say that that's not one that's going to be missed. And certainly you've got other issues you're going to have to address on that O-line. I mean, you're very much looking at the possibility in the next year or two, if you're lucky, Frank Ragnow might just hang him up. We've heard rumblings about that dating back to, I believe, around the midway point this season. So you're going to have that to address, and I think you're going there probably with your first pick in the draft in the first round, would be my guess. I haven't heard any sort of rumblings about them looking at other offensive linemen. And then they added another guy today, too, out of this Robertson kid out of the Raiders, another cornerback. It seems like we're getting a lot of guys who are like four cornerbacks on the roster, all who would be like number two guys on most teams, which probably means ultimately one's going to like overperform, one's going to get hurt, and the other one's going to suck. So that's going to be about par for the course for the Lions. But it's also the closest the Lions have been in as long as I can remember to actually having two actual NFL caliber starting cornerbacks on their roster, even if neither one of them are like would be the number one guy on most teams. So it's at least an improvement in some sense, right? Here's Pat Holmans at Solid State Radio. Ghost at Solid State Radio. So with the Lions thing that we talked about earlier, like a lot of people were hoping that they'd go and swing a big trade, bring a big name into town to fill one of the many glaring holes on this roster, including the now your offensive line, now that Jonah Jackson was allowed to walk and sign for huge money, or relatively large money at least, with the Rams. But a lot of people were hoping that Brad Holmes was going to go out there, make a big move, you know, sign a L'Jarius, or trade for a L'Jarius Sneed or something like that. And thus far, anyway, it has yet to materialize. And I am a bit curious as to where the fan base really lies on this. In that, have we just kind of accepted that Brad Holmes just does not do free agency? Because I feel like that's the point that I'm at right now, is I've just kind of come to terms with the fact that he's never going to go out there and make the big swings at the big shiny pieces on the free agent market. Draft-wise, he'll find you some absolute diamonds in the rough. The drafting here, since Brad Holmes got to Detroit, unquestionable. Like, this is where the people who are like, you can't question Brad Holmes, look at what he's done. That's where you can honestly point to it and be like, okay, you know what? I understand this. But when it comes to free agency, and really the lack thereof, seemingly, of, you know, major swings being taken, are you just kind of okay with the idea that, yeah, this is just what Brad Holmes is as a GM? He's just not the guy that's going to go out there and make these huge trades or go after the biggest name defensive end, like, I want in my heart of hearts nothing more than to wake up tomorrow morning and find out that the Lions have locked in Danielle Hunter to a long-term deal. And I also know it's not going to happen. It's not, I don't want it to happen. And it's not even that I'm not disappointed if it doesn't happen. But I'm at this point very much kind of conditioning myself to, I guess, accept that that's just not how this man does business. Which, considering the organization that he came from, that's basically just F them picks and traded away basically every draft pick they have between now and 2045, if memory serves, it's an odd dynamic. But he's been so good in the draft market that you almost kind of, you know, you overlook it a bit, I guess. Or at least I have. Or have been willing to be at least kind of okay with, all right, so we're not going out there and getting Latarius Sneed. But you're probably going to draft me a guy who's going to replace Jonah Jackson for the next decade, who's going to end up being like an elite offensive tackle or something. Because that seems more his style, I guess. And you know what? I'm entirely fine with that. I mean, I'm not really fine with it, but I can accept it in that it's what got you to where you are right now. And where you are right now is pretty damn good. Now, what I can't accept is if this is one of those, they're not ready yet. We're not at that, you know, like an Eisenman thing. Like, there's not there. You're not ready yet to start adding those pieces or whatever. Like, no, the window is open now and became open basically the second you made it to the NFC title game. Like, now is the time if you're going to start adding. This isn't where, now we start developing and building pieces. You have a core that made it within 30 minutes of making it to a Super Bowl. Now is the time. And what I'm not going to accept is kicking the can down the road now that you have kicked open that competitive window. And quite frankly, I don't think Lions fans should accept that because you were there last year. There's absolutely no reason you can't, with a few shrewd moves this offseason in free agency, trade, and certainly the draft, that you can't be right back where you were again this year. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to do, but it can be done. You took this team to heights I haven't seen in my lifetime. Most of the people I know haven't seen in their lifetime this last season. Can't be mad now that you've set an expectation. So as long as you're going all in for next year, I don't care how you do it. I don't care if he stacks up on like 10 second round draft picks and does his damn king in the second round thing and just drafts like the entire core of this roster for the next decade. I don't care if I wake up tomorrow and it's Danielle Hunter and Stephon Gilmore and like DJ Reader somehow. However he does it, I don't care. Long as we've accepted that this is what the timetable is, if the window's open now, I'm fine with everything else. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Days of the New at Solid State Radio. Now, there are actually teams in the NFL that have done major things in free agency thus far, certainly not the Detroit Lions, but teams have done it. Let's go and exert a little bit of judgment on those deals, shall we? Maestro, the music, please. From ESPN, Bill Barnwell's list of the free agency winners and losers. Winners have been free agent running backs, of course. Now, you saw a lot of those are off the market. Saquon Barkley going down to the worst place that Giants fans could have seen him land. Yeah, he's an Eagle now. And he got paid. And so far, everybody who is like a top-tier running back has signed, with the exception of Derrick Henry. But it looks like there's a deal in place with him to go to the Baltimore Ravens. And it's just, a combination of timing here and perhaps a little bit talent versus the class last year as to why these guys have all gotten their paydays and their opportunities when Dalvin Cook really didn't, Ezekiel Elliott really didn't. But I don't think anyone's exactly doubting that Saquon can produce a better year next season than what Cook or Elliott were expected to do heading into last year. And, you know, like, look at some of the money that was thrown around for these guys. The only like particularly not particularly great deal that got handouts to DeAndre Swift. He only signed for 3 years, $24 million with the Bears, which will only end up being a $16.5 million of that even guaranteed. He may end up being the lead back over there. It remains to be seen. But the Eagles have just decided the salary cap is not real and just doesn't exist at all. Like, they're signing everybody. Like, they're going to be very much out to prove that last year was a fluke and they are the team to beat once more going in. The Eagles, I mean, when you see who all they added with this offseason, Barkley, 3 years, $37.5 million. I don't think a lot of people really even saw that move coming. But even if there is just one guaranteed year in that, it's a pretty surprising investment from Philly. Like, they don't traditionally pay running backs. And they also, like I said, they don't have a lot of cap room, but as we've established, the cap's not real. On top of that, that being said, the next crucial question is how are they going to replace Jason Kelce? Because, yeah, they're going to keep doing the tush-push thing. It's worked out swell for them, and it's failed for everyone else. But most of those other teams, they can't do it because they don't have a Jason Kelce on their roster to be the man under center on that. It's really going to be interesting to see how the offense adjusts here. Like, it's been very much a run-pass option, quarterback-run kind of game that's made the most of what Jalen Hurts does. And I don't see them going away from that. But at the same point in time, you could see a path where Hurts isn't going to be the runner in plays as often, or he's not going to be, you know, the designated runner on most plays anyway. I mean, he's dealt with some major injuries over the last couple of years. And he's gotten better as a passer, so he no longer has to rely on that part of his game. And at some point, the focus has to turn into keeping him healthy long term. So the Barkley signing from that standpoint does make some sense. Offensive guards got paid yesterday, too. Of course, we talked about Jonah Jackson getting signed a 3-year, $51 million deal by the Rams. And Graham Glasgow got some serious money, too. And not even just that, you had the Giants add John Runyon. You had the Panthers sign the former Seahawk guard Damian Lewis to a 4-year, $53 million deal. And then Dolphins lineman Robert Hunt His deal came in at 5 years, $100 million. And I guarantee you, you haven't heard that name until it just came out of my mouth just now. And he's making eight figures in the NFL. Not saying it's a bad deal. Not saying that he's not worth the money. But I guarantee you, like, wait, you don't even know who this guy is, and he's making that kind of money. The league is really just paying guards like crazy. And rightfully so, and hopefully the Lions will do something to address that major loss with Jackson. But like I said, I presume that's going to be through the draft, because anyone left that's out there that you're going to pay is probably not going to be worth the money they're going to be trying to get. Loser, the 2022 and 24 Panthers. So in the 22 Panthers turned down a trade offer for the Rams that included two first-round picks and additional draft capital as part of a trade for Brian Burns. It set into motion the end of his time with the franchise. He anchored his value around the idea he was more valuable than two first-round picks. When trades involve that amount of capital, they usually produce a market-resetting deal for the young player going the other way. Ultimately, Carolina franchise tagged him. And the Panthers, when they finally decided to trade Burns on Monday, kind of feel like a bit of a gut punch if you're a Carolina fan. Like, you had multiple first-round picks plus on the table for this cat 2 years ago. You didn't manage to get a first-rounder from the Giants. Picked up a second and a fifth-rounder. Something went horribly wrong. And I don't understand what Scott Fitterer was thinking in not accepting that deal at the time. Because, I mean, you weren't playing for anything at the time. You weren't contending. You were clearly in free fall slash rebuild mode. And to watch all that potential compensation just walk out the door and to not get that has to really suck right now if you're Carolina. Although it's kind of questionable why the Giants or why Carolina wouldn't give Burns the deal he just got from the G-Men. 4 years, $111.5 mil, over $40 mil more than what the Rams could have used as the baseline in negotiating his last deal. $90 million in practical guarantees over the next three seasons, which is more than Nick Bosa had on his deal with the 49ers, though Burns does have a smaller average annual salary than Bosa. Is it a lot of money? Sure. But I would much rather pay that money to him than a lot of the other ways that you could have spent it, and then, you know, spend it to go after an edge rusher or something. Especially if you're Carolina right now. I mean, it's entirely possible that the two sides were so far apart that nothing was going to get resolved here, but, you know, the kind of guarantees that the Giants offered, I feel like, could have made that go away in fairly short order. Now, this one, I will see how much you guys agree with it. I'm not sure how much I do. Again, Bill Barnwell's NFL free agency winners and losers from ESPN. The Lions defense is listed as a winner. Quote, I liked what the Lions did to upgrade their secondary in free agency last year, but the moves didn't really pan out. Cam Sutton was solid at cornerback, but Emmanuel Mosley and C.J. Gardner-Johnson were both injured early on and combined to play 189 defensive snaps during the regular season. Brian Branch emerged as a playmaker and helped keep the Lions afloat, but the best-case scenario did not involve starting Kendall Vildor in the postseason, which we all remember how that ended up. So, of course, they traded for Carlton Davis and then also signed Marcus Davenport to a one-year $6.5 million deal. A less expensive version of the deal the Vikings signed with him last year before he ended up missing most of the season with an ankle injury. Solid moves, yes. And like I said, they're upgrades. No question about it. Like, your cornerback room is a lot better now than it was on Sunday. But they're not exactly the game-changing signings I know a lot of this fan base, myself included, wanted to see. So a lot of people are going to be probably more tempted to write them off just because of that. Rightly or wrongly. But it's hard to argue that the Lions and what has been long considered a weakness for this team did not finally significantly upgrade in the opening days of free agency. Let's hit a break. It is happy hour at your local alternative, South State Radio. Happy hour at Solid State Radio. That's going to about do it for me. Getting the hell out of Dodge here. Off to enjoy the rest of this beautiful sunny Tuesday afternoon. Adam will most likely be back tomorrow. We'll, I'm sure, have some sort of, hopefully we'll have some more Lions free agency news to discuss. I don't think it'll be anything major, but a boy can dream, can he? Of course, we have the Wings playing tonight, so we'll be talking plenty about that tomorrow. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.